You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We are starting a new series today called Praying the Psalms. And what we're going to do is we're going to journey through the Psalms together, and we're going to allow the Psalms to shape our prayers, because the Psalms are the original prayer book of God's people in the Bible, in the Old Testament. For generations, for centuries, the Psalms have been the prayer book that has guided God's people in worship. And so we're going to get into the Psalms, and what we're going to do is we're going to marry this discipline of prayer with this discipline of a daily time in God's Word, meditating on God's Word, because something powerful happens when you bring Scripture and prayer together. And so that's what this next few weeks is all about. And as Pastor Jim said, we're going to be kicking off 21 days of prayer starting next Sunday, January 7th through 27th. And what we do is we just collectively as a church, we're going to encourage each other because we're in this thing together. Come on, how many of you know we're better together? We're more encouraged when we know we're all in this together. And that's what we're going to do the next few days, 21 days. We are going to encourage you. We're going to encourage each other to spend some time in prayer daily. And because we're teaching a series on the Psalms, we're going to use the Psalms as our curriculum. In the past, we've given out prayer books and guides. This year, we're going to actually use the Psalms as our curriculum. And so we're going to encourage you to read a psalm every day. We're going to give you a little bit of freedom with this. You can skip around and maybe read any psalm you want or some favorite psalms. You can read a psalm that matches the day. So let's say, for example, if next week is the 7th, you can read Psalm 7th and so on. Maybe you want to download the Bible app. I've already looked around. There's some reading plans in the Bible app for Psalms, so just search Psalms in the reading plans, and you'll find that there. As Pastor Jim mentioned, we're also going to be posting daily excerpts of scriptures from the Psalms on our social feeds, so make sure you're following us on social media, because each day, starting January 7th, we're going to post a different scripture, so maybe you want to take that scripture and read that psalm for the day, because it's going to be different psalms each day, but we want to encourage you to take those readings from Psalms, spend some time in God's Word, and let that shape and influence the way you pray, okay? So download the Bible app. If you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, there's still nothing like getting a good old Bible. Go get a Bible translation you can read. NIV is one that I would recommend, very middle-of-the-road contemporary translation. I teach from it a lot. Maybe some of you, I know you like to journal. This is a good time of year. Go get your journal so you can write down some of the things that you feel like God is speaking to you. But I really want to encourage you, jump on board. We're going to help just kickstart your prayer life as we come into this new year. And I can promise you, you're going to see the difference it's going to make in your life. As you set aside a daily time of prayer, as you get into that routine of getting into God's Word, it's going to impact your life. It's going to impact your thoughts. It's going to impact the condition of your heart. So let's do this together. You guys with me? Come on, it's 9:00. I know we're still waking up, but we're going to do this thing together, okay? Well, today I want to do something a little bit different as we begin this series. Typically, I'm more of a preacher, but today I really want to do some teaching. I'm so glad you came today because you're really going to have a jump start on those who are still in vacation mode today who will be joining us next Sunday, because today I want to just lay down some foundational principles to help you understand the Psalms better, to get the most out of your Psalms readings over the next few weeks, and the most out of this series. So I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching today. I want to encourage you to take out some notes when you came in today. You should have received some note sheets. I see a few of you have those out. Go ahead and take those out, and you can jot some things down, or maybe you want to use your phone, but I really would encourage you to take some notes this morning, because we want to get the most out of our series together in the Psalms. And so I'm going to give you three things. We're going to talk about the what, we're going to talk about the why, and then we're going to talk about the how. So here's the first thing, what the Psalms are. I want to give you some keys to understanding the Psalms, okay? The Psalms are the original prayer book and hymn book of God's people. So put that in your notes today, because the Psalms are a guide. They've been a guide to God's people for generations, for centuries. And so we're going to look to the Psalms to guide us. Maybe some of you grew up in a more traditional, like Protestant church, where you use the Book of Common Prayer, maybe Anglican or Episcopal, and you're familiar with that. Or some of you grew up Roman Catholic, and you had the Missalette, right, the worship guide, which had the liturgy in it. Well, think of it that way. The Psalms are like that. They are the original prayer book and hymn book of God's people. They're written from the perspective of the saints, of God's people. So even if you see a psalm where the psalmist is expressing doubt and wondering where God is, still know that it's written from the perspective of God's people, okay? It's also written as God's, not as God speaking to us, but the Psalms are written as humanity speaking to God. The psalmist's voice is kind of represents the collective voice of humanity in prayer to God. Now, we don't know who wrote all of the Psalms. We know that King David, many of the Psalms are traditionally attributed to King David, but the Psalms were written by a collection of worshipers and poets and psalmists, but they all express humanity's prayers and thoughts and revelations and worship to God. Now, as you read the Psalms, you're going to encounter an ancient context, okay? There's a lot in the Psalms that we can relate to, but there's also things in the Psalms that are going to be foreign to us. We have to recognize that the psalmist was writing in a different era, a different time, to a different people. There's many generations that separate us. So you're going to see some ancient things as you read the Psalms. You're going to come into contact with things like the temple worship and sacrifices, the Old Testament sacrificial system and warfare. You're going to see a lot of things about that in the Psalms. And so just know that there's much that we can relate to in the Psalms, but know that we're being invited into an ancient culture as we're reading the Psalms. Here's another thing to know. The Psalms are poetic. They're poetry. There's many different genres of Psalms. So some Psalms are Psalms of lament, where the psalmist is lamenting something. The psalmist is even in despair. There are some Psalms that are Psalms of thanksgiving, where the psalmist is giving thanks. There's Psalms of worship. There's Psalms of wisdom. In fact, Psalm chapter 1 is one of the most classic, best examples of a wisdom psalm in all of the Psalms. So you can read Psalm 1 today. You'll see an example of a wisdom psalm. So they were originally written in Hebrew. This is Hebrew poetry. So a little bit of it is lost in translation to us in the English translation, but you'll see the way the Psalms are arranged and the wording and stuff. It's poetry, okay? And so you just have to kind of know the different genres that you're reading through. Expect to be surprised, because you can go from despair to worship as you go from each psalm, from psalm to psalm, okay? Now, let me mention a few challenges we face. Actually, one challenge in particular as we read the Psalms that I want you to be aware of, because one of the troubling things that we face as you read through the Psalms is an overwhelming sense of vengeance. Many of the Psalms express vengeance, like rage. The psalmist is equally passionate about worship as he is about vengeance, okay? So let's talk about that for just a moment. Why is that in the Bible? I want to just clear that up for you right now. First of all, you have to remember, the psalmist is writing from the perspective of the Old Testament, right? This is pre-Christ. The psalmist is writing before Christ. And so one way of putting it is all the Old Testament writers wrote with the level of light that they had, the level of revelation that they have. You and I, as New Testament believers, we have the full revelation of Christ. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? We have the full revelation of God's grace, of his mercy, of his love. And so we have a different revelation than the people of God had in the Old Testament. And so we don't pray rage on our enemies, right? We don't pray, God, would you kill all of my enemies? Although you feel like that some days, don't you? We pray for God to help us to forgive our enemies in light of Christ, okay? So you need to know that. But at the same time, there's still something important here, okay? There's something important here, because we can all identify with longings for justice and this expression of righteous anger. You ever see something like on the news, maybe a story of a child being abused or a terrorist attack that kills innocent people, and something like an anger wells up inside of you, like somebody ought to do something about this? There's a sense of righteous indignation, right? Righteous anger is what the Bible calls that. So in some of the Psalms, we see that expressed. And there's ultimately still a lesson for us here, and that is this: the psalmist is entrusting even his rage, his anger, to God. That's important. We don't see any psalms where the psalmist says, I stopped writing for a second to go out and kill people and take out my anger on everybody. The psalmist is bringing these feelings to God. We're going to talk some more about that in just a moment. So we have to know that God is righteous. God is in charge of the universe. He's a righteous and just God, and the psalmist longs for the justice of God. So you're going to see the psalmist get a little bit angry every now and then, but even that we can relate to, okay? So there's a few things just to kind of set the foundation of the what the Psalms are. Now let's talk about why we should read and pray the Psalms, why they're so helpful for us. I want to give you three things that I would encourage you to write down. Here's the first one. The Psalms teach us to pray by giving us a model. The Psalms give us a model. They model prayer for us. Let's look at an example. Psalm chapter 51. This is one of my favorite Psalms. We've taught on this Psalm before in some of our past series. This Psalm is traditionally attributed to King David after the prophet Nathan confronted him over his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. And all of that, David confesses his sin. And that's the occasion and the background to this Psalm. Let's look at it. It's a Psalm of repentance. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. David says this, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is a wonderful prayer because it models repentance for us. I think we all know that part of prayer is repentance. If you learn to pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is a regular part of prayer, taking our sins to God who forgives us and confession. It's good for the soul. We need to do this. But maybe sometimes we don't have the words for it. Maybe sometimes we don't know where to start or even a healthy way of doing that without heaping guilt on ourselves. Well, see, this is a beautiful model for us. In fact, I pray this psalm probably more often than any other psalm, word by word. Many times in prayer, I just spontaneously begin to say, God, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. So the psalms really model prayer for us. They give language, beautiful language, to our prayers to help us express what's in our hearts. Let me ask you this. How many of you find it helpful to have somebody model something for you when you're learning something? Any hands-on learners in here? Like, it's good for you when somebody is explaining something, but sometimes you're like, wait, stop. Like, I want you to show me how to do this. And then once you see it, you're able to better learn. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. In fact, Jesus did that with his disciples, with the Lord's Prayer. His disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. And so many times people say the Lord's Prayer like from rote memory, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They don't even stop to think about what the words mean because they're so used to saying it. But Jesus didn't so much give us that prayer just to have a prayer to pray from rote memory, but he gave us a prayer to help give us a pattern of how to pray. And so the Lord's Prayer is actually a great pattern for prayer, and we find the same thing in the Psalms as well. And here's the powerful thing, okay, guys? The Psalms are both prayers and revelation about God. And that's powerful when those two come together, because often as you're reading the psalmist is praying, the psalmist is expressing something, often something they're going through, and then they begin to get a revelation about who God is. They begin to recount the faithfulness of God. They begin to have this you know, memory of how God has been faithful and sustained. They begin to have revelation of the goodness of God. Some of the worship psalms are like this. The psalmist is expressing how big God is and this amazing revelation. So something powerful happens when we bring together this revelation about God and we marry that to prayer. See, there's always something powerful in praying God's word, because it teaches us to pray according to God's will. In fact, my pastor, Pastor Jeff Leake, says this in his book, Praying with Confidence, the will of God is contained in the word of God. So if you want to pray God's will, how many of you want to pray God's will for your life? How many of you want to know that you're praying the right thing? Have you ever been in a season of life where you weren't even quite sure what to pray? Like, I want to make sure I'm praying and asking God for the right thing. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, if you will allow the word of God to shape your prayers, you can be confident that you're praying according to the will of God. Your prayers will be effective. You can know that you're praying according to what God wants for your life. And so the Psalms help us do that. And this is helpful for you no matter who you are, whether you're new to prayer, whether this is your first time back in church in a long time, or your first time in a Bible teaching church like this, or whether you've been in church for years and you have experience praying, the Psalms will impact your prayer life. Marrying this discipline of prayer with daily time meditating in God's word will greatly affect your prayer life. It'll just rejuvenate it. You'll see your prayer life become effective. And so really want to encourage you to do that. The Psalms are a great model for us in prayer. Here's the second thing. The Psalms take us deeper into our own hearts. One of the amazing things that the Psalms do, they have a way of taking us deeper into our own hearts. Look at Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 through 2. The psalmist says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Have you ever been through a season of life where you had just this sense of, God, I need to know that you're close to me? Like, God, I need to know that you're with me, that you hear my prayer. Like, I need a sense of your presence in my life close to me. I'm going through something. Or maybe you've been in a time of worship where you were just drawn into worship, and there was just a part of you that was just longing, God, I want more of you in my life. Have you ever experienced that? You were just in worship, and there was just this overwhelming longing in your heart. And that's what the psalmist is expressing here, something that's happening deep inside of his heart. God, as the deer pants for streams of water. God, something inside of me longs to know you, to be closer to you, to have a relationship with you. And so the Psalms have a way of fast-forwarding us into being in touch with the depths of our hearts and what's going on inside of us. The Psalms give voice to the range of human emotions that we experience. Let me ask you this. Do you ever have a day or a season of life where you're experiencing a certain emotion and you're not even sure why? Like, have you ever had a time where you were just angry? Like a day where you're going through the day, like you're angry with everybody. You're short with your loved ones. You're mean to your coworkers. You just don't have patience for people. And you're not even sure. You haven't even stopped to figure out like what's going on inside of you. Can we just be honest? That happens to us, right? Because sometimes like 2 days earlier, somebody said something to you that offended you and you're still walking around angry. And so there's all of these symptoms with the way you're treating people, but the hurt was really deep down on the inside of you. Am I making sense to anybody? Or maybe you're just going through a time where you're feeling insecure about yourself and your self-confidence is down and you kind of feel that and you're not even sure why, because maybe your boss said one thing to you that hurt your self-confidence. And so you're walking around feeling that way. See, here's what the Psalms does. The Psalms help us diagnose what's going on deep down inside of us, in our hearts. The Psalms give voice to this range of emotions. They help us to get in touch with what's going on inside of us. And you can find a vast array of emotions in the Psalms. Come on, I love the Psalms. The Psalms are raw. They're real. Okay, there's no little now I lay me down to sleep prayers in Psalms. This is real stuff. So like if you're angry, you'll find that in the Psalms. There's times when the psalmist is raging angry. If you feel like, if you're going through a time where you feel like, God, where are you? What are you doing in my life? You'll find that in the Psalms. You'll find the psalmist praying that. Come on, if you're going through a good season, maybe you got a Christmas bonus this year. Maybe you got a raise or a new position going into the new year. You'll find praise in the Psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You might wake up, you know, one early morning this January, because I know you got your New Year's resolutions on, and you're going to get up, you're going to go work out, and you're going to be up, and the sun's going to be coming up, and you're going to find some words in the Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands as you feel the joy of being in God's nature. So what I'm saying is you can find the range of human emotions expressed in the Psalms. The great theologian and reformer John Calvin said this. He described the Psalms as an anatomy of all parts of the soul. The Psalms have a way of digging deep down into our hearts. You know, there's been this big interest in psychology of late. There's this push in psychology to recognize the importance of human emotions. On a wide scale, psychologists are waking up to the fact in the Western world that human beings are not just brains on a stick, that we're not just computers. You know, we live in this rationally focused world because we're Western people. We're children of the Enlightenment. But there's been this kind of whole scale wake-up call among psychologists to realize that we're emotional people. We have emotions. They're a part of who we are. Come on, ladies, wave at me. You know what I'm talking about. This is your world, okay? I mean, we are emotional people. This is part of who we are. And so there's been this big discussion and dialogue about emotional health. How many of you have heard that term, being emotionally healthy? Not just healthy in mind, healthy in body, but being emotionally healthy. If any of you have done any counseling lately, and I would encourage you, there's nothing wrong with counseling, go get some. If you've done any counseling lately, maybe you've heard this term, that this, you know, psychologists and counselors are really speaking into people's emotional health. In the Psalms, isn't it amazing? I love when the Word of God is just generations ahead of everybody else. Modern psychology is so impressed with itself. The people of God have known this for generations, that you got to get in touch with what's going on inside of you, and you got to bring it to God. Because see, there's two things that people often do with their emotions, okay? People typically do one of two things, or sometimes they switch hats. But on one hand, some people stuff their emotions. Do we have any stuffers in here? You don't have to wave your hands. I see wives nudging their husbands. Some people stuff their emotions. They just bury them down, and they don't really express them until maybe they boil over at some point. But some of us are stuffers, and then some of us are ventilators. You know what ventilators do? They ventilate their feelings to everybody. They often throw up. They vomit their feelings on everybody, okay? Like some people like to go on social media and do that. They have to put every feeling they have on Facebook. Well, like, can you just put pictures of your kids and puppy dogs on Facebook, please, right? We don't need to hear your, like, emotional venting on Facebook. Like, we just want to see pictures of your puppy. That's it. Okay? For real. And so here's what the psalmist does. What I love about the psalmist is the psalmist doesn't stuff his emotions. Okay? He's not like religious and wooden and stiff. The psalmists are real. The voice of the psalmist is real. He doesn't stuff his emotions. At the same time, the psalmist doesn't ventilate their emotions to everybody. Here's what the psalms teach us to do. You ready for this? And you might want to write this down. The psalms teach us to do something completely different to human nature, and that is to take your emotions and be very much in touch with them, but to bring them to God in prayer. To get in touch with your emotions, not to bury them, not to stuff them, not to ignore them, but to take our emotions into the presence of God until they're changed or we better understand them. Because sometimes your emotions actually need to be changed in God's presence, and sometimes you just need to better understand what's going on with your emotions. How many of you would say that it would impact your life if you were to slow down and learn to bring your emotions to God before you said something or acted a certain way? How many of you know that that might help you out? Like this year, maybe a good goal would be to slow down and bring your emotions to God before you've ventilated them in speech and in action. My hand is up. I'm sure you're more spiritual than me, but there's sometimes I need to just slow down and bring my emotions to God. And the Psalms help us do that. And I'll tell you another thing the Psalms help us do. The Psalms help us break free from formal religion, and they help us to authentically express ourselves to God. As I said before, when we open the Psalms, we don't see any of this, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Let's just be nice little Christians who pray nice little safe prayers. And No. The Psalms cause us to get in touch with the reality of what's going on inside of us. There's some raw and real prayers in the Psalms. And sadly, many of us learn to pray polite prayers growing up. Like, you know, we learn polite prayers around the table. God is good. God is great. And we thank him for this food. And we kind of bring that mentality into our prayer life. And what happens is we don't develop as close a sense of a relationship with God because we kind of pray like that. Can I just tell you something this morning, church? God can handle your prayers. God can handle your doubts. God can handle your fears. He can handle your worry. Like, there's nothing that you're going to bring to him in prayer that's going to surprise him. Hello? And so we got to learn to just get real and open. I'm not saying be disrespectful. We're going to trust God, but you can be real. You can be authentic. And the prayers of the Psalms help us to do that. More importantly, they allow God to do the work in our hearts that he wants to do in us. That's what they do. They put us in a position so that we can open our hearts before God and allow him to do in us what he wants to do in us. Is this good? Is this helping anybody out? All right. Here's the third thing. Okay, we're talking about just some practical reasons we need to use the Psalms, and the Psalms can help us as a prayer guide. Here's the third thing. The Psalms force us to deal with God as he is, not as we wish he was. Somebody needs to write that down this morning for sure. The Psalms force us to deal with God as he is, not as we wish he was. Let's look at another Psalm, Psalm chapter 13. Verses 1 through 2, and then for the sake of time, we're going to skip to verses 5 through 6. Tell me if you can identify with this prayer in the Psalms. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Stop for a second. Have you ever been there before? Like, God, how long are you going to take to answer this prayer? God, how long are you going to take to provide the finances I need, the new job that I need, the physical healing that I need? Has God ever been on a different timetable than you, anybody? How long, oh God? So you can relate to these prayers in the Psalms. But here's what I love about the psalmist. The psalmist reaffirms his trust in God. Look at verses 5 through 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, I don't know about you, but this looks like the most schizophrenic prayer in the whole Bible, right? Like, God, where are you? What are you doing? You're not showing up. Yet, while I praise you, oh God. Like, which one is it? You know, this is like multiple personality disorder in this psalm. But here's the thing you have to realize, okay? The psalmist is expressing something that we all go through, and he's being forced to deal with God as he is, not as he wishes God was. So there's the human side of him that's saying, God, I don't know where you are. It seems like my enemies are about to triumph over me. How long are you going to take to show up in my life and to answer this prayer request that I have? How long am I going to keep wrestling with the things I'm going through? But the psalmist also begins to remember God's faithfulness, begins to remember God's character, begins to remember that the psalmist is the psalmist and God is God. And so then he begins to express, but I will trust in your unfailing love. And that's something we need to do. And the Psalms can really help train us in that conversation. In fact, let me give you this quote from the great theologian Eugene Peterson, the translator of the Message version of the Bible. He said this, left to ourselves, We will pray to some God who speaks what we like hearing or to the part of God we manage to understand. But what is critical is that we speak to the God who speaks to us and to everything he speaks to us. The Psalms train us in that conversation. And so I love what Peterson's saying here. He's saying that the Psalms remind us that God is sovereign. How many of you have learned that you can't figure everything out there is to figure out about God? He's much bigger than you. His ways are much greater than our ways. We can no more understand God than an ant can understand us. We can understand the parts of him that he's revealed to us, thank God, through creation, through his word, through his son, through his spirit, through the rational ability he's given us. But that's a very limited representation of an almighty, huge creator God. And so we just have to come to this place of accepting that God is sovereign. And trust me, you want God to be sovereign. We think we want to be sovereign. No. When we're sovereign, the world's a really bad place. Our world comes unglued really quick when we make ourselves sovereign. We have to accept, like, God, you are in control. God, you are in, nothing's happening to me that's taking you by surprise. Nothing is going on in my life that you can't handle. God, your timing might not be my timing, but I have to trust in you, and I have to trust that you're good and your mercy endures forever, that you're faithful, that you're with me, that you've never failed me. Do you see what happens there? You're forced to hold on to who God is and to acknowledge that he's bigger than your situation. God sees things from 30,000 feet up. We have this perspective here on the ground. And the Psalms help us do that. They help us to deal with God as he is. Okay, so for this final part, I want to give you one last thing, okay? We talked about the what the Psalms are. We talked about the why it's important that we incorporate the Psalms or why they can be a good source for us to pray. And let me just tell you, as a whole, Scripture as a whole, okay, is a great place to start to affect your prayers. It's just that the Psalms are particularly effective because they're written often as prayer and revelation. So now I want to give you the how, okay? How we should read and pray the Psalms. And I want to give you a simple acronym. This isn't the only way, but this is one simple acronym that's really easy to remember, and it's called the SOAP method. The SOAP method, okay? This is an acronym, so each of these letters stands for something. So let me give you what they stand for. The S stands for Scripture. So obviously, we want to begin with reading the Scripture, whether it's a psalm or any Scripture. So you're going to begin with reading, okay? A couple things I want to encourage you as we begin to read the Psalms over the next few weeks. Pick an easy translation to read, like the NIV, the NLT, the New Living Translation is another really good contemporary translation of the Bible. Here's the good thing. Most psalms can be easily read in just a few minutes. I know you're busy people. I know you have families. I know you have work. I know you have a commute. I know you have all those things. You have to take care of your home. The Psalms are great. Great place to start, especially if you're new to reading the Bible, because you can, most Psalms you can typically read in a few minutes. Here's the other thing I would add to this. Invite the Holy Spirit to read with you. The Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that, Christians. We believe that this is the inspired Word of God. You know, just don't pray long, because we're going to pray at the end, but just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Would you reveal your Word to me? I want to read with you. And so start with Scripture, okay? That's S. Here's O. O is observation. Everybody say observation. All right, I want to make sure you're not falling asleep on me up there. Observation, reflect on what the verse might have meant at the time it was written. This might be a little bit difficult, but this is a good practice. We want to try to, as much as we can, understand what did the psalmist mean in his original context, his original audience. So what is the psalmist expressing? Maybe what kind of psalm is this? Is this a psalm of worship, thanksgiving, lament, wisdom? What might the occasion have been? In fact, sometimes at the beginning of the psalm, there's a little intro that explains the context of the psalm. Like Psalm 51 says the occasion of David's repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. Why is this particular phrase here? Or this particular word here. Also, I would say this, be aware of the parts of Psalms that might not completely make sense to you. Remember, we talked about that ancient context. So just be aware of that, okay? Don't be intimidated. Try this as best you can. If you really have some experience in Bible study, you really want to dig deeper, maybe go on Amazon, get a commentary. There's all kind of commentaries that help you understand the Psalms better. So maybe you want to do that. But at least, you know, on a surface level, try to understand what the psalmist is expressing. Okay, here's A. That's observation. A is application. And here's the question we ask in application. What does the psalm mean to me? This is where we personalize it, okay? So we read it. We try to understand the original context in which it was spoken for the psalmist as best we can. We don't get frustrated there if there's stuff there that we can't fully understand. But then we get to this place of application, and we ask ourselves, what is the psalmist expressing? Like, what does this mean for me? Like, God, what are you saying to me? How does this apply to my life? If I could pull the principle out of this psalm if I could pull the truth out of the psalm, how would that speak to my life and my situation right now? And so sometimes you might even want to read a psalm out loud over and over again and really meditate on it, okay? Some of you like to journal. Do I have any journalism in here? Like it helps you just to write some stuff down. Come on, you like your bubble gel pens and you got your special little journal. Man, get out a journal. Sometimes I write some things down. Some of my best sermons come to me just writing in a journal as I'm reading through God's word. So maybe you want to write down some things that you feel like God is speaking to you personally through the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. And then that's application. Here's the fourth thing. Pray. Pray. Scripture, observation, application, and then prayer. Pray a prayer that reflects the meaning of the psalm. In some cases, you might even want to pray the actual words of the psalm, okay? Unless it's one of those psalms that talks about killing your enemies. Don't pray that. That's not good. Okay, lighten up, guys. But there's a lot of beautiful wording in the psalm that you can just pray word for word. Just take those words and make them your own. Let the psalmist give voice to what you're sensing, but at least take the thought and the idea, the theme of that psalm. And some are going to resonate with you better than others. If you're having a day where you're feeling joy and thanksgiving and you read a psalm of lament, it may not exactly speak to you right away. But if you search your heart, maybe there is something there that it speaks to. Or read another psalm. Keep going. But you'll see things in that will speak to your situation. I want to encourage you to use the psalms also to praise God. Maybe sometimes you need to do the opposite. When you're having a day where you're feeling down in the dumps, just start reading a prayer of thanksgiving. Start reading a prayer of worship. It's going to give voice. It's going to put words in your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter what kind of day I'm having. I'm going to bless you at all times. God, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. And watch how it changes your day. And so I want to pray for you this morning, and I want to end with this question as we're beginning this series, as we get into the meat of this series next week. How many of you would say you really want to grow spiritually in this next year? Coming into 2018, you would say, man, I really want to have more of a sense of God's presence in my life. I really want my ear to be more tuned to his voice. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to spend more time in God's word. Listen to me. Nothing will impact your spiritual growth like developing a daily habit, a daily discipline, a daily time in God's word and in prayer. Nothing will grow you spiritually. There's nothing like it. And so I want to encourage you to prioritize this as we come into this new year. Because I don't know about you, but there's a longing in my heart. Even this week as I was praying over the Psalms, I was listening to some worship music. There's a longing in my heart to be closer to God, to know him better, and to love him more. Come on, that's a good goal. Put that at the top of your list. God, I want to know you better, and I want to love you more. I want to walk closer to you. I want more of your peace in my life. I want more of your presence in my life. God, I want to have a better marriage. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better coworker. I want to run my business better. I want to be the person, God, that you are calling me to be. I want to handle my finances better. I want less strife and worry and anxiety and doubt. And I want more love and joy and peace and goodness in my life. Are you with me this morning? Come on, we got to get into God's word. We got to start digging a well. We got to have a reservoir because there's going to be some days you're going to need it. And I'm going to tell you, that's what happens when you begin to store up God's word in your heart. It's there for you on the days when you need it. And here's the newsflash. We need it every day. We need it every day. And so I want to encourage you to prioritize this. And isn't it wonderful to know that as we go to the Psalms over the next few weeks, no matter what you're experiencing in your heart, you can express that to God. You can take it to God. The Psalms give us permission. Come on, sometimes we just need permission. I'm giving you permission. God's word's giving you permission. You can bring whatever's going on in your heart in this stage of your life. You'll find it in the Psalms. And instead of stuffing it and burying it, instead of ventilating it to everybody, you can bring it to God in prayer and allow him to change it or allow him to help you better understand it. And how many of you know there's value in that? That'll change your life. That'll change your relationships. That'll change the way you relate to people. So we're going to pray a prayer. I want to invite you to stand with me. We're going to do two things this morning to be practical about this. We're going to pray together. And if you're with me this morning and making this your priority, because we're collectively inviting all of you as a church to do this with us. If you're new to our church, that's okay. Just jump in. You're welcome. We're going to pray a prayer of commitment to say, God, we're going to prioritize this. We're going to get our hearts right as we come into this new year. And then we're going to do a second thing. We're going to become the psalmist today because we're going to sing a final song. And I want to encourage you just to make this song an expression of the commitment we're about to pray. We're going to pray the words, Lord. We're going to sing the words, Lord, I need you. And I want to encourage you, after we finish praying in just a moment, to take this worship song and you become the psalmist today and sing this prayer to God. Do you know that's what the psalmist is often doing? The psalmist is singing their prayers to God. That's what we're going to do together this morning. So would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you once again for this opportunity to be in your house today on the brink of this new year. There's no better place for us to be. I thank you for each person who got up and came out through the cold this morning to be in your presence, God. And I thank you that you've met us this morning by your Holy Spirit. And God, there's something inside of us. The scripture says deep calls to deep. God, something inside of us longs to know you more. Something inside of us longs to know you, God, to walk closer to you, to walk in harmony with you. Because God, you're our creator. And there's something inside of us that knows deep down on the inside, we need you. And so this morning, God, today we are making this our prayer of commitment that, God, we're going to prioritize our relationship with you. God, at the top of our list, we've got some things on our list. We're going to think about some goals and some things for this new year. But God, at the very top, we're going to prioritize knowing you better, God, and loving you more. Knowing you better and loving you more, walking closer to you. And God, I thank you in the days where we're weak, you're going to help us. Holy Spirit, you will help us. You will take the word of God. You'll bring it to life. And so, God, we're giving you permission to challenge us when we need to be challenged. God, we're giving you permission to encourage us when we need to be encouraged. God, we're giving you permission to lift our spirits in worship and thanksgiving as we get into your word and to bring us closer to you. God, I bless each and every person in this place. And God, I believe that a year from now, we'll be standing here celebrating that, God, we are closer to you than we were this time of year. We thank you for it. We give you praise. If you're in agreement with me, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.